radio audience to the beautiful sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us every Sunday morning for worship service at 10 a.m. We invite you to watch and subscribe to our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.deb.tumcseymour.org. And now we will enjoy some great music from our group Proof.
Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning,
everyone.
And thank you.
We're sure happy to be here today. Mark and I spend some time each week before we sing, communicating back and forth about what we're going to sing, texting, calling, whatever. And the song we selected today is called Personal Jesus. A couple of versions of it out there, one by the original author, Depeche Mode. I texted Mark the YouTube on it, and he texted me back. He wasn't sure about it. He said, "Will they understand?" And I put in caps, "Yes." Almost, "How dare you challenge me?" Then I have to think, what does he mean? What will they understand? Do we not enunciate? Or I'll enunciate as best I can today. Then I thought, does he mean they won't understand the message? So he made my faith grow this week, and I thought, that's our job, is to let you know what the song's about. And I didn't have to look any further than the September 27th edition or installation of the Upper Room. It was about a 9-year-old girl named Emma. And when it came time for prayers and concerns, she stood up to say a prayer. And she said, I want to pray for the people of Ukraine. I want to pray that Jesus does something to help the people of Ukraine handle that situation better. And then she said, I also want to pray for Jesus because I'm trying to learn to play the flute and I can't make any sound. And that says, 1 John 5:14 says, ask anything you want from me and I will hear your prayers. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so that's what this song is about. Jesus can be as personal as you want him to be. He's right there. He's just a prayer away. Thank you for challenging my faith. Now let's sing this song. Johnny Cash did it too. All right. The Troy Nicholson Jam Band is backing us up today.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and blood, my trust on. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. Take second best with me to the test. Things on your chest, need to confess. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver.
Amen?
Amen. Reach out and touch faith.
Reach out, Mark!
Reach out and touch me. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. the good receiver, I'll make you a believer. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith.
Thank you, Carol.
Reach out and touch faith.
Thank you. And now the scripture today is Ephesians 5, 15 through 20, and it's on page 1159 in your pew Bible if you'd like to join me. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we will have our sermon by Pastor Angel entitled, Be Careful How You Live.
Have any of you ever read a book that was so dense, so intense? A good book, good information, but you just can't get it through your head. Anybody? I can remember during my undergrad, there was a book, How Then Shall You Live, by Francis Schaeffer. Excellent book, but I had the worst time getting into it. I've never really been that great at the reading part. I'd get to the end of the page and be like, what'd that say? And have to go back over it. But I was going back over this book, chapter by chapter, and making notes. And it would not stick. Then I went to the library there at Indiana Wesleyan, and I found a videotape of the book. I thought, oh, this is great. I can play this. I can listen to it. And it will get through to my mind, 9 out of 10. When I hear or see something, it sticks a lot better than when I read. My kids got so tired of hearing that because I'd play it while I was cleaning house, while I was folding laundry, because it was going to be a big part of what the test was on. My kids would be walking around the house, how then shall you live? To this day, they still make comments about that. But there's some truth to thinking about how we are called and required to live. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because these days are evil. And then Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the questions in Sunday school today was, what part does music play in the service? Everybody had an answer. Everybody responded because music is important. It does play a part in our service. It plays a part in our worship, period. And what I said was, I can remember during my undergrad, one of my professors said that when you go out and you prepare the dirt to receive the seed, it receives that seed and grows far better than if you simply threw the seed out on the ground. If you threw the seed out on the ground, a few of them would take root and they would grow. But when you get out there and you turn that dirt upside down and you break up all the clumps and you get the rocks out of it, you have prepared that soil for the seed and it will be successful. Music is the same way in a service. You prepare the heart. You open up the heart to the scripture reading, to the message, to what the service will be about. Be very careful, beloved, be very careful how you live in these verses in Ephesians. There is eternal wisdom for improving the quality of your character, your lust for life, the satiety of your soul. How many here have learned through right and wrong, through struggles, through life, that nothing but nothing satisfies your soul as the Lord Jesus Christ does? But yet, we still turn away from the ways that we know we should live. Whether it's because we get too busy, whether it's because we get caught up in something, and in the back of our minds, we really know that we shouldn't be doing this. But the front of our minds is telling us that we have to. We can get caught up in this earthly life. And we can fall away from our Lord. And as soon as we do that, we have given the enemy legal ground to torment us. We have given him an open door for him to keep coming in and saying little things to our mind that move us further and further away from Jesus Christ. To put it out there in no uncertain terms, if you follow this advice in this scripture from the Apostle Paul, your life will become everything it's intended to be. Can you think of anything better than that? Your life becoming everything it's intended to be. What God intends to happen from your life. You will realize your potential. You will accomplish your purpose here on earth. And you will experience the deepest, most rewarding satisfaction that you can ever find. Guaranteed. So why is it then that we struggle so much with how we should live? I'll tell you one of the biggest culprits: distraction, busyness, hurriedness, rush, being tired. I don't know about you, but I struggle to get up in the morning and to read my scriptures. When I am most convinced that I am going to read this particular chapter and really looking forward to it because the days before was so good, I end up being awake most of the night and I want to reset my alarm clock and sleep until the last minute when it's time to get up, hurry and get ready and get in to here. I give up myself I give up. What will ground me? What will help me to live the way that I should live? And we all do it. Whether we do it for family, whether we do it because we think that everyone around us thinks we're ridiculous on how we're living, or whether we do it because we become distracted, we all tend to turn away from the things that are going to cause us to have the life that God intends for us to live. To understand what the Lord's will is. Who's ever prayed to know what God's will is? I know I pray constantly to know what God's will is. And I can get my panties in such a wad when I'm praying that I don't know up from down. Rather than just doing the next right thing. Doing what I know connects me to God. Being in my Bible, praying, asking other people to pray for me until I can come to the point where I sense what God's will is for me. Who's ever heard of or read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? It's a huge book. People bought it. It was like the number one selling book for about 10 years, pretty close to it. Rick Warren hit on a gem there because it did indeed lead us through. How then shall we live? I've got 6 DVDs in there, each of them with 6 lessons based off of the purpose-driven life. Telling us how to live those concepts out. And one of the most important things in those DVDs is all of us together. We cannot live a solitary life and still hold to everything that God is calling us to live. Millions of folks bought this book. Millions of people participated in study groups. It is, however, extremely disheartening to observe how many people in our own communities, in our own places of employment, and in our own families who are looking for love in all the wrong places. Who satisfaction in life and fulfillment is a craving, but they're trying to find it in earthly places. They are going out to the bars, to the parties, and trying to fill that hole inside of them. Beloved, here, right here, is satisfaction. Right here is support. Right here in this church, if you glean hold of it, is looking for love in all the right places. It is connecting to Christ Jesus. It is connecting to other people who have like-mindedness. Don't be foolish, says St. Paul, but understand what the will of the Lord God is. God has planted a dream in your heart. Who's ever had a dream that God planted in their heart and you're afraid to even mention it out loud to somebody else because what if I can't do it? What if I can't live it out? What if I'm wrong? What if it's just my own mind talking to me? But it's not. God plants dreams in our hearts and souls. And then he equips us to be able to carry them out. Paul's advice then is that what we become filled with, what we become filled with, determines whether or not we live those dreams out. But what subverts the quality of life? But when we fill our hearts with things that were not intended for us, it is a distraction. Yet when we fill our lives with virtue, with honesty, with helpful things in our lives, that satisfies us like nothing else possibly can. You and I are influenced by our environment, by the things to which we are exposed on a daily basis. If you spend too much time with a negative friend, wait, when you spend time with those negative friends that are constantly grumbling and saying something bad about everyone they know, it's contagious. You catch hold of it. When you spend time with people who cuss constantly, you end up doing it. Might not have done it in years, but you will end up doing it. When you spend time with people who are filled with faith, when you spend time with people who spend time in the Word, that too reflects upon our life. Seek out friendships where those friends tend to look on the bright side, where they tend to be optimistic, those people who have a positive attitude, and look for opportunities to do good works, not to gossip. You know, I rarely hear gossip unless I walk up on it accidentally, because people know what I'm going to say. They know I'm going to ask, have you talked to that person about this? I'd be happy to pray with you. I'll go with you to talk with them. I am not the person that you bring gossip to, because I'm going to try. Now, I have my times where I jump right into the middle of it with both feet, open my mouth, and spread the flames. But as a general rule, I bring water to that fire, and I won't let that gossip go any further. Therefore, I tend not to hear too much of the gossip. Anna was asked to present the graduation speech at one of America's premium universities. You may have seen little pieces of it, which make the rounds in forwarded emails. I think it's even made it to YouTube by now. Being a novelist, she admitted that she had no special expertise or insight enabling her to address the gathering of scholars. Yet her message was so poignant that you could have heard a pin drop in that huge auditorium. Here are a few excerpts out of it. You will be the only person alive who has sole custody of your life, your particular life, not just your life at your desk, or your life on a bus, or in a car, or at your computer. Not just the life of your mind, but the life of your heart. Not just the life of your bank account, but the life of your soul. Here is my resume, she says. I am a good mother to three children. I no longer consider myself the center of the universe. Rather, I show up. Even when I don't know what to do, I show up. That speaks volumes to people. Just showing up. Just being present. I show up. I listen. I try to laugh. I am a good friend to my husband. I have tried to make my marriage vows truly mean what they say. I am a good friend to my friends, and they to me. Without them, there would be nothing to say to you today, because I would be nothing but a cardboard cutout. Beloved, the people you hang around with, this old saying, birds of feather flock together. The people that you surround yourself with in life influence who you are and who you become, and will give you advice to lift you up out of the doldrums, the storms, the difficult times in your life. She says, so here is what I wanted to tell you today. Get a life. Stop butting your nose into other people's lives. Get a life. A real life. Not a manic pursuit of the next promotion. The bigger paycheck, the larger house, the nicer car. Get a life in which you are not alone. Find people you love and who love you. Beloved, that is the greatest gift you are ever going to have. And remember that love is not leisure. It is work. Pick up the phone. Send an email. Write a letter. Continue communicating in that relationship, whether it's been 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years. Continue to work at that relationship. Get a life in which you are generous and realize that life is the best thing ever, and that you have absolutely no business taking it for granted. Care so deeply about the goodness of life that you want to spread the goodness of life around. Take money you would have spent on beer or coffee and give it to charity. Work in a soup kitchen. Do things with your life that make you feel grateful for what you already have. And think of life as if it was a terminal illness, because if you do, you will live with joy and passion as it ought to be lived. This message certainly catches the spirit of what St. Paul is trying to say. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most out of every single opportunity. How could we each write our own resumes? Resumes, I talk. Yeah. Side note here, I saw a little thing from clergy coaching, a little meme on Facebook. It says, how well do you know your pastor? What's one of their favorite sayings while they're preaching? I said, oh, great. My whole congregation's going to say, rewind, I talk. But at least they know me. It is never too late to start living a life full of gratitude, to start living a life full of positivity, to get friends who are going to speak life into you. I realized that I could have been a much better mother, a much better friend, a much better sister. I have wasted a lot of precious time in my life. But St. Paul's message isn't about our past. If we spend time in our past, we render ourselves of absolutely no use today. When I get caught up in some of the terrible things that happened to my house when my children were young, in how terrible of a mother I thought that I was, I am no good to my children. When I get caught up in guilt and shame, I am no good to anyone. We are to leave the past behind for a reason. We are to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ and begin wherever we are at in life, 20, 40, 60, 80 years old, and begin living the way that Christ Jesus would call us to live, the way that He would have us to live. We can start in our own homes, because the hardest place to live out the Word of God is in our own homes. When we step out that door, we put our best foot forward. When we go to work, we don't act like we do at home. If we did, we'd probably lose our jobs. We get home. We let our hair down. We're tired. We're exhausted. We have taken in everybody's negativity around us. And rather than taking a moment to go meditate, taking a moment to get into the Scripture, taking a moment just to take a break with God so that we can treat our loved ones at least as well as we treat the neighbors in passing. Rather than doing that, we come in, we throw our stuff down, we get undressed, we get our jammies on, and all of the ugliness in us pours out. Start today. Start today when you walk into your house. Separate yourself from your job. Separate yourself from the day. Remember that the most important ministry you will ever do is with your children, with your spouse, with those who live close to us. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For there are little ones who are sure to follow. Garbage in, garbage out. When we sit in front of the computer all day long, absorbing garbage, absorbing negativity, it is going to affect us. I remember when I worked at First Place. It was a therapeutic foster home for the worst cases of abuse in Indiana. To this day, I believe those 6 years were probably my greatest ministry. Just working day to day with those kids. I saw 500 kids come through those doors. And all but three of them prayed with me before they left. Some of them were some very tough cases. There was one young lady named Nikki. You would ask her to go over and wipe down the table and get it ready and set it for supper. There could be up to 12 kids in there. She'd look at you, walk over, and spit in the middle of the table. But when I got that girl praying, I have never heard such purity and such longing in all of my life. And I can remember these kids would listen to the most horrendous music, and they would put it on repeat right by their ears when they went to sleep. I started taking those CDs away from them, or replacing them with other songs, trying to get them to sing. The youth group I worked with at the time, we would get CDs in the mail that were free to let the kids try. I told the head of family.